Thank you. My name is Matthew Van. I'm a second-year master's student at North Carolina State University in Raleigh, North Carolina. And this morning I'm going to give a brief talk on the evaluation of potassium application methods and rates on the yield and quality of flue-cured tobacco. Just a brief outline of what I'll cover this morning. I'll give a brief introduction of the purpose behind this research and what we're trying to do, our objectives of the project, methods and materials used to evaluate and collect data, location description and growing conditions, an evaluation description, the data that was collected, a brief conclusion of what we determined, and I'll also discuss briefly our current research. Just a brief introduction of what I'm going to talk about. Two different research potassium evaluation methods are being conducted in North Carolina at this time. The first is a straight potassium rate evaluation where we increase application rates across plots. And the second is a potassium rate and application timing evaluation where we took four different application rates and applied those four application rates at four different methods. The purpose for this research is essentially threefold. The first reason for this research is fairly obvious for anybody who's been in production agriculture for probably the past 5 or 6 years. We've got rising nutrient input costs, and potassium prices have been hit probably just as hard, if not harder, than nitrogen and phosphorus. In 2008, in the nutrient hike cost, we saw potassium prices jump from about 40 cents to well over a dollar. The second reason for this research is something that you really have to be involved in North Carolina agriculture and tobacco specifically to understand, and that's high phosphorus indexes on most of our soils. Now, this issue is not specific to North Carolina, but it affects us drastically in what we can and cannot do. And our third reason kind of comes out of the second reason. Because we have high phosphorus indexes, we can now decouple nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. We can get away from a blended fertilizer, and we can apply nitrogen and potassium independent of one another. And because of this, we've come up with an alternative fertilizer program for flue-cured tobacco farmers in North Carolina. This chart here is a trend of macronutrient input costs, and this reflects back on our first overall reason for this research. And specifically, if you look here in post 2005, we see significant jumps in nutrient cost, and unfortunately, this data, which came from the United States Department of Agriculture, only has numbers that reflect fertilizer prices in the spring of the year. Were these numbers to be carried out into the fall of the year, specifically in 2008, we would see a much steeper incline when it comes to the nutrient input costs. And also, these fertilizers aren't typically used in flue-cured tobacco production, but they're a very good gauge for what we're up against when it comes to economic inputs. This is a pie chart that represents the distribution of the high phosphorus index soils in the state of North Carolina. And you can see from the chart here that roughly 85% of our traditional tobacco soils in North Carolina have a high to very high phosphorus index. And again, this has led us to decouple our traditional N, P, and K fertilizer programs. This is just a small chart here that demonstrates a traditional fertilizer program cost and an alternative fertilizer program cost at the nutrient height of 2008. A traditional fertilizer program in the state of North Carolina will typically be your blended 6-6-18 fertilizer with a side dressing application of calcium nitrate later in the season. In 2008, at the height of the nutrient cost issue, we saw this traditional fertilizer program costing about $450 per acre. Now, because we can decouple N, P, and K, an alternative fertilizer program has been established where we're advising farmers if they can and if they want to, they can use 30% UAN, urea ammonium nitrate, a liquid nitrogen, and then side dress 0022 K-Mag for their potassium source. And in 2008, again, at the height of the nutrient input cost, we see this being about $290 per acre, total savings for the grower of about 34%. These numbers came from October of 2010, so they're about a month old. This same traditional fertilizer program would cost the farmer about $248 per acre, whereas the alternative program would cost about $129 per acre. So we're looking at nearly a 50% savings for the producer. So the objectives of this research, after I've kind of gave a lengthy introduction, we want to determine optimum potassium rate for yield and quality with higher yielding cultivars. Some of you may or may not be aware, but some of the data that we use and have found in tobacco production is a little dated. and we have newer, higher-yielding cultivars, and we want to make sure that we're making adequate recommendations for our growers so that they're producing a high-yielding and top-quality leaf. A good tobacco crop, we say traditionally it'll take up about 90 pounds of potassium per acre. Potassium is the number one nutrient in demand in a tobacco plant, so we want to make sure that we're making adequate recommendations. We also want to determine optimal potassium rates given different application times. If we've got Farmer A that wants to apply his potassium in a broadcast application a month or a week ahead of time, and we've got Farmer B that may want to do some sort of a split application at transplant and at lay-by, we want to be able to make adequate recommendations for both farmers based off of good sound research. And lastly, as with any good extension research, we want to reduce the overall cost to the producer. So methods and materials for what we've been doing in our program. We had a complete randomized block design in this study. And planting dates for the tobacco were April 29th at our eastern location and May 21st at our northern location. These dates are very typical for their respective locations in the state of North Carolina. Tissue samples were collected from each plot as the season progressed at lay-by, at topping, and a cured leaf sample was collected as well. Lay-by interval is the last date where we can get a machine through the field without damaging the plant. And topping occurs for some of you who may not be familiar with the tobacco production. Topping is where we remove the apical dominance from the plant. This induces a leaf effect where you get more leaf area produced because you're taking away energy that's being pumped into the leaf and into the flower and seed. So we remove that apical dominance, we have larger leaves. And then after the leaves are harvested, we have to cure them in a barn where they're dried, sugar, starch is converted, and we have our final product. These leaves were then dried and ground at North Carolina State University. After that, they were sent to a lab for nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and magnesium evaluation. This is currently underway. And soil samples were collected prior to transplant, at lay-by, and at topping from control plots. And these soil samples are in the lab as well. Our locations for study, Rocky Mount, North Carolina was our eastern coastal plain site, and Oxford, North Carolina was our Piedmont site. Both of these sites represent the eastern coastal plain and Piedmont very well. The soil series at these respective sites were Goldsboro and Helena, and these soils are high in clay content with medium to high potassium indexes. The star on this map of North Carolina is where Raleigh is located. The X due north is the Oxford Tobacco Research Station in Oxford, North Carolina, and due east of Raleigh is the Upper Coastal Plains Research Station in Rocky Mountain, North Carolina, just to give you an idea of where we're at. So our first study is potassium application rate study. Again, two locations, Rocky Mount and Oxford. Varieties NC71 was used at Rocky Mount and NC297 at Oxford. Very traditional varieties for these respective areas, and they compete very well. Our potassium source was a 0022, which is a K-Mag fertilizer, which has a supplemental magnesium and sulfur in it as well. The rates were 0, 75, 100, 125, 150, 175, 200, and 225 pounds of K2O per acre. That is not pounds of K-Mag per acre, that is actual K2O. Our nitrogen source was liquid nitrogen, 30% UAN at Rocky Mount, and calcium nitrate of 15.500 at Oxford, and these were applied in a lay-by application. The control plots received 667 pounds per acre of 6618 at Rocky Mount and 500 pounds per acre of 8824 at Oxford. Both of these led to a roughly 120 pounds of K2O per acre. This is data from Rocky Mount in 2009, and just to briefly hit this fairly quick, the take-home message from this graph is that we see lower rates of K2O were very competitive with the higher rates as well as the control plots. So we see here that leaf yield as well as leaf quality was not affected. At Oxford, the same story is true. We see that lower potassium application rates were very competitive with higher application rates as well as the control plot. So leaf yield and leaf quality were not affected with lower potassium rates. Our next study was a potassium application rate and application timing study. The same two locations, the same respective varieties were used at the two locations. We had the potassium source was a 0022 again, the K-Mag, but this time we used 75 pounds, 125 pounds, 175 pounds, and 225 pounds per acre of K2O. And these four application rates were applied at four different manners. One was a month before planting, 1 week before planting, at transplant, and then we did a split application that occurred at transplant and at lay-by. The nitrogen source was liquid nitrogen and calcium nitrate, again, depending on where we were at. This time, the control plot at Rocky Mount received 10.8 gallons per acre of 30% UAN, and the control plot at Oxford received 194 pounds per acre of 15.500 or calcium nitrate. And there was no supplemental K2O applied to the control plots. What potassium the flue-cured plant had available was what was already in the soil. So that gave us a good comparison across plots. This is just a chart again with the data from Rocky Mountain 2009. And again, just briefly, we see the take-home message here. Our lower potassium application rates were very competitive and comparable to the higher potassium application rates and the control plot. And we also, kind of a change in thought here, our broadcast application pre-transplant was just as good as our at-transplant and our split application, which is kind of a traditional break from what we typically do. Same results were observed in Oxford, where we could get by with lower potassium application rates, and we could get by with broadcast application of our potassium fertilizer. So briefly, the conclusions that were made from 2009, application rate and timing had no effect on cultivars under these conditions. Conditions being adequate soil moisture and a fairly good potassium index within the soil. And also, it should be noted, 2009 was pretty much the poster child for adequate flue-cured tobacco growing season in North Carolina. We had great rainfall throughout the year. It was not extremely hot. It was just a great season for what we were trying to do. It was so good, in fact, that the control plots we did not see any deficiency in. So even the plots that didn't get any supplemental potassium at all, we had no deficiency symptoms. So that's not something you typically see in research, but we did see it this particular summer. Also, nutrient levels across sampling intervals did not vary. And with high potassium index on heavy soils, lower rates of potassium are acceptable. Also, broadcast is acceptable, and again, I stated this previously, this is a break from what we traditionally do. This led us to conclude that current recommendations are adequate. We're looking at roughly 90 pounds for a good flue-cured tobacco crop. Current research, unfortunately, the 2010 research is at this point unavailable. Basically, as I was getting on the plane to come out here, they were taking the leaves out of the barn at Rocky Mount. So they have to go through a USDA grading process where we put a grade on it. We establish our yield factors, and then we can put a dollar estimate on what we did. So as of right now, the data will be available very soon, but not at this point. We also added a location at Rocky Mount. We essentially doubled what we had there. It was fortunately all in one field. One side of the field was a heavy clay soil with a high potassium index, and the exact opposite was true at the other end of the field. It was a very coarse sandy soil with a low potassium index, made for a great observation in one single area. Also, it was a very unusual growing season. It started out extremely wet in the spring, then it got extremely dry, and it turned off extremely hot and extremely humid. Not very good for flue-cured tobacco production, and you can see some of the deficiencies that were exemplified in the plots. Before I conclude, I'd like to make a few acknowledgments. First to Dr. Lauren Fisher, Dr. David Smith, Dr. David Hardy, and Dr. David Jordan, who make up my graduate committee. Also, Dr. Sandy Stewart, who is our newest tobacco extension specialist at NC State. Mr. Joe Priest, Mr. Scott Whitley, who are our technicians. Ms. Jenny Johnson, who is a fellow graduate student in the tobacco program. Mr. Jason Sweeney, who is undergraduate help, and he's been very good in the lab. Also, North Carolina State University, North Carolina Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, and certainly Philip Morris International for providing funding for this research. And at this time, I'll entertain any questions if there are any.
Time for a question.
Why do you use K-Mag instead
of potassium chloride? That's actually a really good question. Potassium chloride, muriate of potash is a 0-0-60 blend, and it's KCl, so it's 40% chlorine. The tobacco plant is extremely sensitive to chlorine toxicity. No more than 30 pounds of chlorine per acre. And usually you're looking at 120 to 150 pounds of potassium per acre. And you see you put out 100 pounds, you're limiting yourself with potassium, and you've already got 40 pounds of chlorine. And tobacco does extremely poor under those conditions. So there has been research done in Kentucky where they actually recommended putting out KCl you know, maybe in the fall after the harvest, and hopefully you get enough rainfall to leach chlorine out. But for us, it just really doesn't work that way. So we use K-Mag, or we use something like potassium sulfate, something like that. But muriate of potash is definitely a no-no for what we do.
Thank you.
Thank you.